Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's that time again. It is Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick, so if you happen to miss this great show, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Danielle, it's the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, boy, there's a lot to talk about in the NFL today as we're heading to training camps about 3 weeks away.
I know training camps are coming up. Yes, there's always stuff to talk about. Just like I said, I say this every week, just when I think we're going to calm down just for a little bit before training camp, somebody goes and says something stupid, and that's really what the theme is this show. I'm doing great, Mark. I just want to thank everybody who came out to Barnes & Noble in Charlotte on 420 Sharon Place. It was wonderful. Everybody was great, so thank you so much. You can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, slide into the DMs, and we can definitely talk training camp, whatever you guys want to chat about. Let's just jump into it because for some reason, I don't know, maybe there's something in the water, but everybody's got something dumb to say. Let's jump into Josh Allen, who, please get him some media training. He started out so strong, and then I don't know what happened to the boy. But this week he's blaming the media. The whole Stefon Diggs thing is our fault in the media. It's no one else's but us, because apparently we blew it out of proportion. It was nothing that Josh did. He did not start it. No. It was us. Had nothing to do with Stefon Cryptic. That was nothing, apparently. It had nothing to do with McDermott's comments of, I'm very worried that the man has not shown up. No. We in the media took it the wrong way and twisted Josh's words around. And if we would just all let it go. Okay, Josh, let's get a couple things straight. You went to the mic and acted like this man was your best bud, and you guys are out, like, you know, partying, and you're you guys have, like, Batman and Robin. We all know there's been tension between you guys building. You're the one who went out there and painted this picture, and then Stefon went and put out a tweet that let us all know you lying. That's what started this. So let's be very clear. We did not blow this out of proportion. Everyone has known about the tension. So don't go and backtrack it. If you wouldn't talk about it, we wouldn't talk about it. So once again, let's not get into your whole thing about either about what you said a couple of weeks ago, right after you got Madden. And again, we all know Jalen Hurt should have been on the cover of Madden. But okay, Josh, we're going to let that go too, where you claimed there was only one New York football team. That might have pissed some people off, too. So, Josh, maybe it's time you step away from the mic a little bit, take a couple deep breaths before you answer questions, and chill, because it's not working for you, and you have a great rep, and everybody likes you, and you're well-liked, and blah, blah, blah. But, dude, just stop drinking the water up there because something's not going right. I don't know, Mark, but, like, you know what I mean? Just back off. Because you can't blame the media.
You bring
That's
up some interesting points.
End.
Yeah. No, you bring up some great points on that. And I don't know. Every time you try to figure this out, you know, I can't see it any better than you just broke it down. I mean, it's crazy to see this stuff going on.
There's, like I said, it's like saying you got a bad edit. It's not going to work. We all watched it play out. Just back up. That's it. Just, you know what? Prove it on the field. Because in a couple months, none of this will matter. If you get to the Super Bowl, believe me, none of us will care. But at this point, you're under a microscope because now for a couple seasons, all we've heard is that the Bills are on the precipice or something. Wow, they're going to make it this year. We picked them. We've been saying that for a while, and nothing's happened. So guess what? It's time to put up or shut up. So I'm going to say shut up for now and just put it on the field. And guess what? None of us will say a darn thing. So try that, and then we'll be rooting for you. But now's not the time to get a mouth. Not it. Not the season. You know what I mean? I don't know, Mark. That's my take on it. What do you think?
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, with everything going on in the league, where are these running backs going? Where's Ezekiel Elliott going? We're 3 weeks away from training camp, and we don't even know where he's headed yet. I mean, this is crazy, isn't it?
I think the running back situation is just getting worse. We still have no word on Josh Jacobs. Saquon is working out like a madman. So he's working out. It's telling me that the Giants are going to come to some agreement with him. I know we're hitting the date soon, guys. So all I can say is he's releasing tapes and tape on him working out. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a scare tactic on his end, but I think it's more like we all know we're going to come to an agreement. So, like, let's all chill out, or that he's going to play. I don't think he's sitting out the season. I equate him to saying he'll sit out the season to when you're driving with your parents and they threaten to turn the car around. We all know they're not going to, you know, turn the car around. You know, that whole, don't make me stop this car, I swear we'll turn around. It's all empty threats. I think that's what he's saying with this whole sit out the season, because it wouldn't work for him. He's getting older. Like, it's him sitting out this season and not putting the numbers up, it's hurting him. It's not really hurting us. So I think that's the first thing with Saquon. He's going to sign. Josh Jacobs, I think they're all going to come to an agreement. I just don't think it's going to be the numbers they want. You know, with the whole quarterback being mobile and all this other stuff, I think for some reason people are not taking, and when I say people, I mean upper management, they're not taking the idea that you need a running back. In order to have an RPO, you have to have a running back. You know, like, they have to start seeing the value of these running backs more. I understand the position has a shorter shelf life, but that's why they need to get paid. These guys get hurt quicker. You got to pay up for them, especially when they put the numbers up. Do I think Saquon is worth $16 million? No. You haven't put – you've been injured. You've given me one good season. But Daniel Jones would not have had the season he had last year without Saquon. I've said it before. It's a Batman-Robin situation. They both need each other. They got to come to some agreement with what it is. Ezekiel, I may not love the Cowboys, but Ezekiel deserves better. There are places for him to go, whether it's the Patriots, the Buccaneers. There are places for Ezekiel to go. I'm surprised he has not been signed. Do I think it's going to wait out until the season begins and there's an injury? That might be what happens. I'm not, you know, I really thought he would have gone. I thought the Chargers would have picked him up. There's other teams where I think they could definitely use him, especially teams that have picked up a rookie running back that could use that type of leadership. Sometimes it's more about the veteran aspect of it and the leadership, which Tiki Barber needs to shut his mouth. And this is what bothers me. And this is going to be a rant, and I'm sorry, Mark. When you have these running backs that have retired that are now that think they know it all, that are going out and speaking against running backs who are currently in, that bothers me. And Tiki Barber coming out and saying that he doesn't think the Giants need Saquon and that if they lose him, it won't be a major loss. That is indicative of Tiki's personality and his character, because let's not forget what Tiki did to the Giants. He busted out on them and dropped them mid-season and announced his retirement. I think we were 4 or 5 games in. And he was like, yeah, I'm retiring. See you guys. Because he thought it would light up the locker room and get them to rally around. And he basically, like, quit on us. Now, we went the following year and won the Super Bowl without him. Thank you very much. But I think the running backs that have retired their money when running backs were being paid a little bit more and are now commenting, I think that sucks. That's just my opinion. Sorry, that's my rant. Sorry, listeners.
No, I think you brought it down great in more ways than one. And you know, it's crap, you know, the way everything plays out. But, Yeah, Vince Tobin died, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. 79 years old he was, man. That guy was a winner, but God bless his soul, man. I mean, who knows, you know, what he died of. I don't quite know what he died of, but I know he passed away.
I don't know if they've released it.
Yeah. You never know with everything going on in today's, you know, thing. Who knows? You know, you don't want to speculate on the wrong information, then you look like an idiot. Any comment on that?
Agreed. No, I just think it's, you know, I think it's sad. I hope that they, I hope he gets proper honoring, you know. I hope that they do right, but then again, it's the Cardinals, who knows. You know, I hope they do something to the start of the season for him.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when you look at it, it's unbelievable. Let me get to some of these comments. Lance from Pensacola, Florida, coming in, says, guys, I love your show. Can't get enough of it. Get some more hours and days in here. I want to talk about former Florida Gators quarterback Jalen Kitna. Today, I guess, as part of a plea deal, they dropped child porn charges on him. So he doesn't have to register as a sex offender and will not serve jail time. He's sentenced to 1 year probation, and he could be reduced to 6 months if he complies with all that. I don't know. I don't know if money comes into these things or what, but all of a sudden things start getting dropped, you know, when you've got charges on a guy. It's kind of crazy to me, Danielle, in more ways than one. And, you know, I guess Lance feels the same way. Money will buy you anything, I guess.
Didn't all these teams have cleaners? Even when you're no longer with the team, I think there's always something to kind of clean it up, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Child pornography is a big thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to register as a sex offender and no jail time. Come on, man. What's going on here?
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy.
There's something not right with that.
In my mind, and that's a problem. There's no accountability. And Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass., a regular listener, says, guys, that's a great topic to roll on. I was thinking the same thing. You can buy the system. Just look around. I don't know if you saw the latest news, but they found cocaine in the West Wing of the White House. So nothing surprises me today. Yeah, this is a football show, Dalen. Yeah, but, you know, who knows? I don't know. I mean, just falling off a cliff, if you ask me. We're in Revelations this time of the year with this world. With everything going on. So, and if you don't know that, get in the back of the Bible, and that's Revelations. It'll give you an in-depth on everything. But I can't believe it. 3 weeks away, I'll probably be at the Cowboy camp. I know, the Panthers are in your backyard. It just seems like yesterday the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, Danielle.
And we're still debating that because the NFL just came out and blamed the players for not having the right equipment for the field. They said they did not have proper cleats. So when you and I were discussing this, what, 3 days after the Super Bowl, 4 days?
Right.
We discussed the field conditioning. And the NFL has just come out and said that actually it was the players' fault. They didn't have proper cleats. Now, the Eagles have come out and said that they changed their cleats 3 times. So they had proper equipment. But the NFL has said, nope, I'm sorry, guys. It was your fault. Now, there was a college playoff game a couple weeks prior, and they had the same problem with the field. And they said it was slippery, they couldn't get a grip, and all this other stuff. The NFL will not take any credit. Once again, we're going back to accountability, and I got a story about that again, guys. They're saying, no, it was your fault. So, you know, the NFL is just, they won't take it. So, you know, it's kind of crazy, and it's sad because in one sense it makes the Eagles look like spoiled sports. But in the other
right.
sense, it takes the victory away from what the Chiefs did and their comeback and Mahomes having the ankle and all this other stuff. So it sours both sides. And it's just really not fair. And you're looking at the NFL saying with all the money you put in, you couldn't get the bright playing surface. Like you had to paint it up and do all this other stuff and put all this different kind of grass. And there are people who have come out and said, yeah, the field was not great. Like even, you know, specialists have come out and said, yeah, it's not you know, it's not great. It wasn't great. So you're looking at the NFL going, can't you just, like, stand by your players and admit it? But it sours both sides. So I think it's just, it's sad. And once again, speaking to accountability on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, boy, I saw the headline today, and I couldn't, you know, figure out how to bring this one up, but I don't know if you saw it. 7 ex-players discussed their only NFL game, best damn cup of coffee they ever had. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes.
Comment? I'll let you go first because I was going to comment on that.
Nope, you go. I'll let you take that one. Go right ahead.
Well, I mean, it just seems like, you know, it's hard enough to make it in anything, but to really experience a lifelong dream and to walk on the field, and that's got to be something. I thought that was amazing when I saw it, and just to see these people, you know, the Glenn Gronkowski, the fullback of the Buffalo Bills, experience it. I mean, it just, you know, it's almost like you're bubble players. And we've seen this. We've seen this when people get their shot after playing, you know, in the minor leagues and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But to get an opportunity to play in football, I've always said this, and I don't want to disrespect the game of football, but I think the hardest thing in life is to play a Major League Baseball player, because I think they have to go through so much to get to the show that it's unbelievable. You know, you can come in off the USFL, you can come in off the XFL, you can come in off the college and get right in there in the NFL, but you can't do that in MLB. And I think that's what makes it that much harder, that you got to keep going through the system, the single A, the double A, the triple A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your take is on that, but it's a nice story with these NFL guys. But it would be a nicer story if it was something in the Major League Baseball where they had to do it.
It reminded me a little bit of the Last Dance documentary, Michael Jordan, where it showed him, you know, doing when he was playing, when he tried playing baseball. It was just an interesting take. I appreciated it. And what it made me think about is the NFL players who screw up and have this chance who are good players. You know, from the gambling situation, I know I reported last week, Isaiah Rodgers and Rashad Berry and those guys who didn't think they'd be suspended indefinitely, they are now suspended indefinitely. So last week it was sources were saying, I think they're just going to get a year. They wound up getting suspended indefinitely for gambling. So that was my first thing. So here are players that, you know, have this great opportunity. Like, you know, so you have the players that got one game and they're still like remembering it and holding on, you know, that moment of glory. And then you have these players that have it all laid out before them, taken away, which brings me to something that, sorry, listeners, you're going to just have to hold your horses on this one and just hear me out. This is going to be a little bit of a rant, so you're just going to have to hang in there with me for a second. Sorry, Mark.
No, that's okay.
Tyreek Hill does a podcast called, It Needed to Be Said, where he interviews sometimes controversial players, retired players, all different ones. He decided to take on Michael Vick. So everybody just sit for a second on this one, okay? You probably have a feeling on Vick. One way or the other, you probably got one. Everybody's got an opinion on this. So he sits down with him thinking, I'm going to get to the bottom of everything. Michael Vick never said dogfighting, so let's first start that. So the whole it needed to be said, it wasn't said. He never came out and said dogfighting. There was no accountability. Instead, Vic decided to victim blame yet again. The man basically said he never had a father figure to tell him not to do what he was doing. But then comes back and says, and this is the quote, I wish I had a father figure or somebody in my life, and I did too for the most part, but not to the point where somebody was like, yo, man, you could really screw all this up. Ain't nobody came and said, bro, you can screw all this up. Well, one person did. I won't say his name. So let's break this down just for a second, guys, because this made me laugh. So first you're saying, I wish I had somebody, but I kind of had somebody. Now, Vic did have a father. So let's clear this up. in 2001. He was arrested in 2007. His father reported that he had dogfighting going on in his garage. Okay? Said it and went to his son and said, you should not be doing this. The mother covered for him, said, no, there's no dogfighting going on. So the father did say, you should not be doing this. Bad. This is bad. You're going to lose it all. The mother said, no, 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 there's no dogfighting here. No, 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 don't worry about it. So here, Vic is blaming. Del taking no responsibility. Somebody did tell him, you could lose all this, don't do this. Figure that out for a second. This is a man who has still to this day run the fastest in the combines for a quarterback. Right? He had the world laid out in front of him. He then went on to say, I didn't want the Chargers to draft me because of the cost. Fly back to Virginia where the dogfighting was going on, guys, where the dogfighting was happening in the compound because it would cost too much money. Then he bought a very fancy sports car but was getting pulled over by the cops too much to find out what kind of sports car he was. So he thought, this is attracting too much attention. I shouldn't do this. You can't say the man was dumb. He was well aware of the taxes, everything. When he was finally brought up on charges, he admitted to killing the dogs, drowning them. He was involved in all of it. All of it. He was brought up on these charges. When he had a chance to plead his way out, he failed the polygraph test and then failed the drug test while he was waiting for sentencing. Figure that for just a second.
It's a system, Danielle. We talked about it earlier. You see a guy, and we talked about it with the, and I don't want to hash over the stuff, but you're looking at a White House thing. You're talking about a guy with child pornography. You're talking about a guy that killed dogs. I mean, it's just the clown show, man. It really is. I mean, these guys can get away with anything, and no charges are going to be brought up or anything. I mean, I don't understand it.
21 months, and he says, he admits, the whole time I was gone, I thought I was going to be, they were going to wait on me. He just thought he would come back and pick up playing. He goes, yeah, but that didn't happen. No, it might not have happened, but then you came back. The Eagles picked you up for 4 years. You played for the Eagles. You got comeback player of the year. You got picked up at the Pro Bowl. This was his first year back after jail time. Okay, then he got the Burt Bell Award. He went to the Jets and the Steelers. And then he got his broadcasting contract with Fox, which he's still there to this day. This year he is nominated for the College Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I want to bring up
Vic on this podcast.
Yeah. Victor from Garden Grove says, you guys have been very critical. I've been listening to your show about the Rams of late. Give me some credit. We have a Super Bowl that we won here. And we're just trying to structure ourselves so we can be competitive in the next few years. Your derogatory remarks about what the Rams can't do and can win just don't make for good sports shows. Well, first of all, Victor, you definitely shouldn't call this show when you're drunk. Please don't have about six beers and call me and badger. I'm going to tell you again, I don't know if you're a Rams season ticket holder. I don't know if you go to Rams. I don't know if you have a friend that plays for the Rams. But I'm going to give you something where you can put in your pipe and light it up and smoke it. The Rams are going to win 3 to 4 games this year. Okay? And nothing looks bright for the future with this team either, other than that quarterback that you got from Georgia, who I really like, and Stetson Bennett. So don't compare with our show with some of the shows that you hear and derogatory remarks about the Rams. The Rams will win 3 to 4 games. Pass that message on to your season ticket holder friends. Pass it on to whoever plays for the team or whatever. That team's going to win 3 to 4 games. And you're not going to do anything in the next couple of years either, unless Stetson Bennett, who I like, has an adequate running game, which you never had last year. You didn't have a guy that ran over 100 yards last year. So what are you talking about, man? Don't call me when you're drinking my Pittsburgh IC lights out there. Unbelievable,
I'm sorry, what was
Danielle.
Again, Mark?
Victor
Mark,
from Garden Grove.
Victor.
Victor.
Okay,
Victor.
First of all, Victor.
Capital V.
I wasn't so critical of your Rams. What I had been saying since day one was we didn't know if Matthew Stafford was actually playing. Your coach was checked out for the first half of the year where we didn't know, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? Is he taking a broadcasting? And that doesn't build for a strong locker room when half your leadership is checked out. That's what we were saying. They also were fire-sailing most of your team. So what I had been saying was figure out your identity, find out how you're building, and I understand you're in a rebuilding year. Go from there, and I'll give it to you, but you can't build the whole team around one player. Donald is great. That's phenomenal. But he was also considering retirement at one point. So all I was saying was, what is your team and what is your identity? You seem to be giving everybody away. What are you doing? So I wasn't speaking derogatory about your team. I was stating pure facts, which most of your fans have actually called in and said, I respect what you're saying, but give us a chance. So don't come at me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you know, the difference, Danielle, is, and we've been doing this so long that, you know, it just becomes immune to some of these guys, is there's fans and there's fanatics. I think what we have here is this guy is a fanatic. I mean, he must have the Ram, you know, jersey,
oh,
must have the Ram
the
beanie.
Too.
I mean, this guy must be all out, and I understand that. But when you think your team is on the same par of the Philadelphia Eagles and some of these teams in the AFC, come on, man, what are you smoking, man? Really, your team has gone off a cliff, man.
Don't come at me about doing my job, though, or else I'm going to stand over you in your cubicle, and every time you strike a keyboard and make a mistake, I'm going to sit there and then come after you. So
yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me
well,
you don't make
that's
show.
The problem.
Move on.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem.
You don't like
you
it?
Know, fans and fanatics. This guy seems like the fanatic that's been sitting in the bar since about 8 in the morning sucking down beers, decide to dial us up and give us some grief and give it. What props do you want me to give you? Your division is garbage, pretty much, except the Seattle Seahawks, and your team is garbage. You know, let's call a spade a spade here. Yeah, let's call a spade a spade. And you know, if your team sucks, be a man enough to tell me your team sucks. Don't tell me that you're a playoff contender when you haven't shown me the slightest, and you're right, you brought up McVay. McVay was on the fence. He didn't know what to do. Shoot, should I sit home with my modeled wife or take a TV job, or should I come back and do this? You know, they let all these players go, you know, and you know, it was almost like the Miami Marlins. You know, we'll bring everybody in, and we'll win the World Series, and then we'll just sell everything off. That's what the Rams did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what your Rams did, Victor.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah, that's what you
fine.
Did. So if you want to be in the same breath as the Giants and the Steelers and some of these teams, then you show me consistency. One Super Bowl doesn't show me consistency of your team for all that many years. And by the way, Victor, why don't you put this in the back of your hat and smoke it too? The Steelers smoked you 31-17 in the Super Bowl in 79. So other than that, you know, Pittsburgh hammered you too. So thanks for the call, Victor. Unbelievable, man. We're down about a minute left in this show, and we spent 10 minutes with Victor.
Well, he got his moment. That's all he wanted.
Yeah. You know what, Victor? We gave you a 10-minute car chase, you know, through the streets of Los Angeles there. Danielle, as we wind this thing down, man, I am so blessed to do this with you each and every week. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, what you got in the pipeline, and we're back next Wednesday.
We are back next Wednesday. At the end of the month, I will be at GalaxyCon Raleigh. So if you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you're looking for something to do, the last weekend in July, I will be in GalaxyCon. You can see me at the pop-up bookshop. I will be cosplayed out, walking around GalaxyCon, which is really cool. It's a Comic-Con. There's a lot of celebrities there, Grant Gustin from The Flash, all that cool stuff, Steve Amell, all them. They'll all be there, so we'll be checked out there. So you can come find me then, but you can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And then next week, I'm sure somebody will say something dumb. We'll be back, or we'll check out what's going on with the camps and getting ready.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, boy, I can't wait to reconvene with you next week. You are the best. Love you dearly. And stay tuned for the top of the hour, guys. Lee Lacy comes in for the part three. Boy, what a show with Lee Lacy and Bill Nord. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. For Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. I know Danielle had a great birthday on Monday. You guys had a great 4th yesterday. And we'll be back next week after All-Star Tuesday in Seattle. Till then, thanks for tuning in.